Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, lock on. Peace.
Hello, 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 people. Once again, you know what time it is. It's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As always, on that time, at this moment right now, it's the FSP Crew Show. I am your host, JT, a.k.a. The Master, and I'm also joined by my co-host, Jersey, Jeff the Joker. There's two Jersey guys. Hopefully Black will join us. As always, we engage in conversation to give you information about the crazy, wacky world and the sometimes funny and sometimes serious world of fantasy sports and politics. And we're going to get into all three of those today. Fantasy, sports, and politics. Politics as it relates to sports. So we got a great show in store for you tonight. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to Jeff or me. And also, we have the chat room. If you'd like to have a question or a comment, you can make in that or make a statement in that. You can do that. But or you can call us. We always like taking phone calls. Trust me. We like taking phone calls. And, you know, I'm going to start the show off like this, okay? Let me put it this way. I'm going to start the show off like I was going to go one way, but I think I'm going to start with this.
Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely.
And the reason I came out with that is there's going to be people that are going to be leaving, maybe voluntarily or involuntarily. Things are going to be happening in the next days and months and years of different things that are happening. And one of the things that are happening is, as people know, we'll get to the football type of thing. But I want to. These are things that are coming up right now that are. I wouldn't say they're more important than the football game today, but I want to talk about them, and then we'll. Whatever time we have left after we talk about this, we'll talk about some things in fantasy, including this football game. But without further ado, before I go any further, let's bring in my host. I'd be remiss if I didn't bring in my co-host, Jeff the Joker. What's up, my man?
Hey, Jerry. Thanks for the intro. Let's do the show.
Yes, sir. Well, like I said, absolute power corrupts absolutely. All right? And one of the things that is happening, like I said, the end of the baseball season is just days away. Regular season, I should say. It's just days away. And when that end regular season is over, for those who don't know, for those who haven't been following, or it's just been, I wouldn't say it's been out of the news, but it hasn't been widely covered and widely plastered on the papers, Jeff, is that Alex Rodriguez, come Monday, is going to get his arbitration hearing heard. And I have a little short clip here. I'm going to read it. Let me pre-read the article first. And then I'm going to have the short clip. And then I want you to come back and comment on this first, because I got a few things that have to pertain to baseball. And I want to cover those first, and I got something that's going to pertain to basketball before we get into the football side of the show. So let me play this clip first, and then we'll go from there.
Alex Rodriguez is in the news again. And as usual, it has nothing to do with his play on the field. Instead, reports say that A-Rod's appeal hearing is set for September 30th, which is the day after the MLB's regular season comes to a close. However, if the New York Yankees make the playoffs, then the hearing will be rescheduled until A-Rod's team is eliminated. This is great news for the Yankees, as general manager Hal Steinbrenner can make his offseason plans knowing whether or not A-Rod's 211-game suspension will hold up. Arbitrator Frederick Orowitz will have 25 days after the hearing to either nail Rodriguez with a hefty suspension or let him slide. Listen, the Yankees owe Rodriguez $25 million next season, and they don't want to pay him a red cent. So you can bet everyone in the Yankees front office will be crossing their fingers when Orowitz finally makes the call.
And Alex Rodriguez, in an article from Newsday.com that I read it, says he's confident as he awaits his Monday arbitration of his appeal. He's expressed confidence in the arbitration process and his future with the Yankees just days before the scheduled appeal of his 211-game suspension handed down Major League Baseball. Rodriguez says he intends to complete his contract with the Yankees, which runs through 2017. I'm going to finish my career here. Absolutely, he said. I'm looking forward to that. Three yeses. I've shown myself that there's a lot left in the tank, and I have a lot to prove. Entering, Entering last night, Rodriguez has played in 44 games since returning from his off-season hip surgery. He's hitting .244 with 7 home runs and 19 runs batted in. He's dealing with hamstring issues right now, and that's really regulated him to designate a hitter in the last 16 games. Wednesday night, he was replaced by a pinch hitter in the bottom of the eighth inning when Rodriguez asked out on the hamstring injury. He was suspended by the league on August 5th for the left connection to Biogenesis and a now closed anti-aging clinic in Miami, and was reportedly supplying players with performance-enhancing drugs. Quite naturally, everybody knows that he's been allowed to play pending an appeal. Like I said, it's happening on Monday, which is the 30th, and I think the judge has 25 days to rule on that appeal. Jeff, my man, you happen to be a Yankee fan. This is one of more than one article I'm going to talk about this, but I want your thoughts on what I just ranted about for the last almost 10 minutes.
More accurately, I grew up a Yankee fan, but I don't really follow baseball too closely now. But because fandom is so strange, if I was going to follow baseball, I would root for the Yankees. And, you know, and it's funny because Yankee fans are an obnoxious bunch. And a lot of them are, you know, these fair weather type fans.
Mm-hmm.
But at least, you know, when I was a kid, I started watching the Yankees. You know, I was like, you know, I was in North Jersey, maybe about, I don't know, 10, 15 miles away. So at least I had a good reason, you know, because it's hard to imagine myself being a Yankee fan for any other reason. And they were so great when I was a kid. I started paying attention, you know, in the late 70s, and they were unstoppable. And there was always a drama. They didn't just play. There was always a drama. And I guess, you know, the Yankees had their good streak, but they've cooled off. But there's still lots of drama. And, you know, I've heard things about this A-Rod thing. And, you know, it cracks me up that these players would sign, you know, these teams sign these contracts with these players into their early 40s, which is a young age, but not a good age for a ball player. And, I mean, I remember years ago, once a player, even if he was still going strong in his late 30s, at that point, he's signing 1 or 2 year deals. You know, I mean, it was still good for good money at the time, but not, you know, you wouldn't see, you know what I'm talking about. Like, you wouldn't see a 35-year-old guy signing, you know, like a 5-year deal for mega bucks, or you wouldn't see a 40-year-old guy signing a big deal, or you wouldn't see, a 30-year-old guy signing a 10-year contract. You didn't see it.
And right.
That was one of the, I guess, those came about during the steroid era. And you think that they would, you know, have something that if a guy, and, you know, I guess the players' union is very powerful, if a guy gets busted for roids, it voids the contract. You see, that'd be a real punishment, but it'd be tough to get that by the players' union.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, a 50-game suspension, it's still worth it because you still have that big bucks contract. Yeah, I mean,
Eli's
got the big suspension, you know, but he's still going to have that crazy contract, which, you know, the thing is, when a guy like A-Rod is a free agent, there's only a handful of teams who could afford a guy like that. And when
right.
they yanked him to that deal, it's like, who are they bidding against? You know, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not, I mean, I know he's had, you know, believe me, he's done plenty, but I've never been a huge A-Rod fan, you know, it's, and you know, and it probably kills him that he was never able to surpass Jeter in popularity because Jeter's like a god. Jeter's like a modern-day Joe DiMaggio, totally beloved by Yankees fan, like something from a different era. And just A-Rod, just, even if he had a better year than Jeter, it's just Jeter will always be number one, you know?
That's right. All right, before I bring in my other co-host, Black, let me I don't know if you know about this. This is dated from yesterday. I got this from ESPNGo.com. And I'm going to read this article. It's rather lengthy, but I'm not probably going to read the whole thing so you guys can get the gist of what's going on here. Sources, Major League Baseball wants files unsealed. And this is from ESPN.com. Major League Baseball has filed a motion in a Buffalo federal court seeking access to seal grand jury records in a case against a well-known sports physician who previously treated New York Yankee star Alex Rodriguez and other high-profile professional athletes. Anthony Galea, I know you guys who know that, who that is, a go-to doctor who treated A-Rod, Tiger Woods, and dozens of other injured elite athletes, pleaded guilty to a reduced charge in 2011, of bringing unapproved drugs into the United States, including human growth hormones and Actovegin. The Galea investigation was triggered in September 2009 when border agents found Marianne Catalano, the lead assistant in the doctor's Toronto practice at the time, in possession of a duffel bag full of medical supplies and drugs as she attempted to cross the border near Buffalo. Major League Baseball is attempting to unseal the grand jury testimony of Rodriguez regarding his treatment by Galea, sources say. It is not known precisely what Major League Baseball investigators expect to find if the grand jury records are unsealed, but A-Rod was interviewed by Baseball about possible PED use around the time of his grand jury testimony in Buffalo. The possibilities include under oath testimony or medical records that conflict with what Rodriguez told MLB investigators. And this is a quote from Joe Tucapina, the attorney for Alex Rodriguez. The action that Major League Baseball thinks its interest trumps the interest of federal grand jury secrecy laws in this country shows you their arrogance and lack of perspective. It is also clear that they are desperately scrambling to gather evidence at the 11th hour. Quite naturally, Rodriguez denied any use to investigators as he was not disciplined at the time. And a source familiar with the case was Rodriguez was informed in writing when he was notified of his suspension that in August 5th that the MLB still had an open investigation into his relationship with Galea. It is possible that he could face further discipline if MLB determines that he received PEDs from Galea or that he gave conflicting statements to the grand jury and Major League Baseball about their relationships. Let me go down here, and it says that the Catalano and Galea are refusing to refusing to say anything, and they also have the opportunity to write into the grand jury and disagree with any kind of unsealing of the documents. Now, my question is this. A-Rod's going to get his appeal heard on the 30th, which is Monday. We'll talk to Jeff about it. I'll go to Black first. What do you think? Do you think Major League Baseball is scrambling right now, trying to find some more dirt on A-Rod, or is this something they knew about and it's just coming up now? Black, what's your thoughts on?
I think they're trying to be proactive. It's a little bit. It's like at the 11th hour right now for this stuff to be going on. You look at what they're trying to unseal. I mean, who does that? Who even asks for unsealing at the 11th hour? But if you were really concerned about it, you would have took care of this. I think this is just a cover. You know, we saw Bud Selig come out today and announce that 2015, it'll be the end of his tenure. I think it's just baseball as a whole trying to save face, but it's a little bit too late for that. And by the way, are the Yankees really going to give Robinson Cano $300 million?
Wait a minute. We're going to talk about that. I just want to go through this first. We're going to talk about that.
I didn't catch what you guys were saying in the beginning, so I didn't know if you had touched on that. I know you were talking about the Yankees.
No, we're talking about the Yankees, but right now we're talking about A-Rod and the thing that's going on with A-Rod come Monday, and also this thing that's coming up that the Major League Baseball is trying to get grand jury documents unsealed.
And this is the same doctor, mind you, that treated Santana Moss and Victor Gardner.
Yes, Victor Gardner.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Don't forget about Galea. I think that was early 2010, 2011, I believe.
Yes.
I think Jerry, I remember talking about this with Jerry. I don't know if Black heard it, but I remember telling Jerry about I was on steroids once. It was, you know, from a doctor for a medical condition. It was because I was about to get my tonsil taken out, and they couldn't give me any more antibiotics. And I know this isn't scientific, but believe me, taking steroids for a week, there's no doubt in my mind that stuff is for real. I mean, I felt like Arnold Schwarzenegger at the end of that week. and I swear, and the thing is, two things I learned, you know, and people tell me it's all in my head, but I wasn't expecting that. I really wasn't. I just thought, oh, it's just an oral steroid and, you know, no big deal and whatever. But it's something that strong has to have serious side effects. And you know what? And it has to be cheating. And if it wasn't cheating, nobody would go within 100 yards of it. But if the rewards are big enough, people will take the chance, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go this route here. I'm going to play this because my next segment has to pertain to the two people that I'm going to be talking about. And I'm pretty sure Jeff, I'm familiar with this. I'm pretty sure Jeff is. I'm not sure if Black is familiar with this certain tune. So I'm going to play it because it refers to the next two people I'm going to talk about. Okay. And the reason I'm saying this is, first of all, 30-year-old second baseman from the New York Yankees, Robinson Cano. Black brought it up, but I wanted to wait because I wanted to get over the first part of what we were talking about, which is A-Rod. And it's not because I'm picking on the Yankees today, but because these two
let's properly address them, the Stankies.
Okay, whatever you want to call them, Black.
Go ahead, man.
I'm going to call them the Yankees, right? But the reason I'm bringing this up is because the Yankees are basically in the news come the end of the season. And for the simple fact, and I forgot to mention this, and it's no knock on you, Jeff, first time in 19 years the Yankees are not in the playoffs. First time in 19 years. And that's a substantial record, and that's, in my opinion, an end of an era, because there's going to be a lot of changes in the Yankees, and there's going to be few guys in there are saying, should I stay and should I go? We already know Mariano Rivera is gone. We already know tomorrow, Andy Pettit pitches his last game for the New York Yankees and for his baseball career. We have another one. We know Curtis Granderson, who's an outfielder for the Yankees, is definitely gone. There's more other players that are going to be gone too. But the most substantial and bigger name of the Yankees, besides Derek Jeter, is their second baseman, 30-year-old second baseman called Robinson Cano. His all-star second baseman. He's one of the best players in baseball. And if you guys did not know, Robinson Cano is seeking a 10-year contract. Now, he's 30 years old. He's seeking a 10-year contract worth
$300
million.
One.
Wait a minute. Not one, not two, but $305 million. So that's a little over that's a little over $30 million a year if he gets a 10-year contract, which is,
Don't forget to mention who's his agent.
And his agent is Brody Van Wagenen, and he's part of Roc Nation Sports, the other half of Roc Nation Sports. Quite naturally, everybody knows who's that. That's Jay-Z. So
contract is really for $205 million. After Jay-Z gets his $100 million cut.
Well, let me put it this way. 30-year-old player. Now we were just talking about this. 30-year-old player asking for a $10 million contract for his age. $30 million for each year he plays. $305 million. So that's whatever it is. Over $30 million. I want to welcome Macau to the show, since he happened to chime up here first. I'm going to go to him first and ask: is Robinson Cano at 30 years old worth $305 million for 10 years? He'd be 40 years old when his contract is over. Talk to me, and welcome to the show, Macau.
Hello, I would just like to say that I am a Yankees fan, so, you know, please, you know, stop with the, you know, humiliation of the team. And
you got it rough this year, brother. The Yankees are down.
The Yankees are down. My Lakers is down. My Skins is down. It's not looking good, man. It's not looking good.
Wait a minute. Before you go into your thoughts, I gotta get the reason why. You go to the West Coast for your basketball team. You go to the East Coast for your baseball team. What the hell is up with that?
Have you seen the Washington Wizards? Have you ever seen them? They're disgusting. They are disgusting.
Okay.
They're gonna change that from Bullets to Wizards. Come on, man. That's a joke. That's a crime waiting to happen. Lakers, I was always in love with Showtime. You know, Magic, Kareem,
mm-hmm.
Worthy, all of them. So that's why that. And when I was little, I had one of my first ball caps was a Yankee hat. So, you know, I've always been a Yankee fan. Always been down with the Yankees ever since. That's
your
it.
Thoughts?
I don't think he's worth $300 million. I don't think that dude's worth $300 million. That's a lot of money. But you know, he is one of the top players out there. And I don't know. They got a lot of thinking they got to do. That brain trust this year. They've got to rebuild everything. I mean, everything's crashing before them. It's gonna be interesting to see what they do with him. But I don't think $300 million. Huh?
I said, that's what happens when you trade all your young talent away. That was in the farm system.
Yeah, but, you know, we could buy it. You know how we go. We can buy it. It's all good.
Okay, let's see you buy this 300 to 5 million.
I don't know. 305 million is a bit much for one dude. But
okay.
I expect them to shell out some cash for some folks, you know, make some power moves this year. But I don't know about Slim getting 300 million, not over 10 years. Maybe something like 5 years, you know, maybe something like 160, 150, something like that. But nah, That's too much money.
Well, I think the Yankees were trying to pare down their payroll down at the under $200 million, if I'm not mistaken. But I could be wrong. I want to go to Jeff, who happens to be grew up a Yankee fan. I don't know if he still is, but Jeff, talk to me, and then I go to Black.
My man,
yeah.
Jeff.
Hey, how's it going, Mikel? I've been hearing that Hal and Hank Steinbrenner, they're running the team now, and that they really want to get the payroll under control. And the thing that killed them this year is they were paying a lot of money to guys who weren't even playing, and that's a chance you take.
Right.
When you got guys in their late 30s and early 40s and whatever, and, you know, I keep hearing that they're gonna trim the payroll, yada, yada. And I get the impression they will, and they might go through this rebuilding phase. The thing is, you know, the Yankees and the Yankee fans, they set the bar high. Making the playoffs isn't good enough. And believe me, unless they win the World Series, it's not considered a good season. And really, they don't compete on a level playing field with the other teams because their payroll is so much higher than so many of the other teams. It's not a level playing field. So I'm curious if, let's say, next year they don't, you know, sign guys to big bucks contracts, and they only win, let's say, 70 games or 60 games, they're not going to draw flies because New York fans want a winner, you know, and they got something else to deal with. I mean, well, the Mets aren't that great, but you know, most other teams don't have to deal with another team in the same city, and the Yankees have always been, especially George when he was alive, very conscious of the Mets, you know. And believe me, Yankee tickets aren't expensive. Nothing at that stadium, I mean, they're not cheap, and nothing at that stadium is cheap. And I don't see people lining up and paying big bucks to see a last-place team.
Right.
I just don't see it. I mean, some teams, the Cubs could draw well even when they're not winning. And I don't see that happening in the Bronx. I just don't. I've heard the farm system isn't that great. I don't know why, unless they've been trading away the prospects.
Because that's how you
rebuild your team.
Black.
Oh, the irony of New York right now. Giants are 0-3, Stanky's out of the playoffs, and the team that you switched on, Mr. Jerry Taylor, is 2-1 right now.
Okay, that's fine. The season's very early. The season is very early, and things can change in a New York heartbeat. Trust me. Things can change in a New York heartbeat. So enjoy. I'm telling Jet fans, enjoy it while you have it, because as quick as you get it, it can be pulled right on from under you. So,
do they have the same record as the Texans, or are they behind the Texans?
They have the same record as the Texans, but they don't have the talent level that the Texans have. So,
I don't want to hear about anything else but the records. Let me put it
this way: come the end of the regular season, we'll see who's in the playoffs and who's watching on the sidelines. I can guarantee it. You take it to whatever bank you want in New York, the Jets will not make the playoffs. So, anyway.
The Yankees, they totally destroyed themselves. The game plan that they've been following for the past 5 years, you just can't win like that. You can't sign everybody's best players, shell out all this money, trade away all your great young prospects in that farm system that you had to get these older guys. It just doesn't work. The young man's game, and I feel rebuilding for a while, but I don't know how the fans are going to take it. I don't know if they're going to jump ship and become Mets fans. I have no clue, but it's the start of the rebuild, man. It's the start of the rebuild.
All right. That's true. I truly believe that. And if I'm not mistaken, the manager, his contract is up also. So there could be a lot of wholesale changes, and he could opt to go to his home city, which is Chicago, and manage the Cubs. So you never know what's going to happen in this offseason. It's going to be extremely busy and extremely interesting to see what's going to happen to one of the staples of Major League Baseball and a sports organization like the New York Yankees. I'm gonna stay with baseball.
I know that. Who's running the team now down there? Is it still Steinbrenner?
Jeff.
Hank and Hal, George's sons.
Oh well, I suggest they go to the nearest Blockbuster or get Netflix and watch that Brad Pitt movie about a resurrected
Moneyball.
Need to do something.
Moneyball.
Need to do something special.
That's Moneyball. Anyway, let's move to this. And I had played this earlier, and I'm going to play it again.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
And for those who don't know, it was I have an article here that is dated today at around 2 o'clock that one of Macau's favorite people in all the sports it decided to call it quits after the 2014 season. Major League Baseball Commissioner Bug Selig formally announced his retirement on this afternoon that will take effect January 24th, 2015. His quote is this: "It remains my great privilege to serve the game I love throughout my life. Baseball is the greatest game ever invented, and I look forward to continually its extraordinary growth in addressing several significant issues during the remainder of my term," meaning get A-Rod out of baseball, one of them. "I am grateful to the owners throughout Major League Baseball for their unwavering support and for allowing me to lead this great institution. I thank our players, except for A-Rod, who give me unlimited enthusiasm about the future of our game. Together we have taken this sport to new heights and have positioned our national pastime to thrive for generations to come. Most of all, I would like to thank our fans who are the heart and soul of our game." He's 79 years old. He'll be, 81 when he retires, when he's no longer with the commissioner of the Major League Baseball. I'm going to go to Jeff on your thoughts about Mr. Selig finally stepping down, just like David Stern's going to step down, I think, after this season. Selig's going to step down after the 2014 season. Jeff, then Black, and then Macau. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think too highly of Bud Selig. I wonder who's going to replace him. That's, you know, the big question, of course. But the baseball needs somebody who's going to drag them into the 20th century. I mean, they're really, really behind the times. And Bud Selig has been commissioner for a long time, and I don't think his tenure is highly regarded. So who knows? Maybe some new blood will do the game well. Who knows? So hope for the best.
Black.
Happy trails to you. Happy trails to you. Goodbye and good riddance. I salute Bud Selig. That's all I got to say.
Talk to me, Macau. I know you're good on this one.
It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. It's been a long
you're doing
time coming.
You're doing a Sam Cooke,
huh? But I know a change has finally come. God Almighty, man. That dude need to get him out of there.
Well, I didn't know this was a music show. Wow.
You know, I know dudes like Bud Seeley. You know, I've worked for the government like 25 years myself, right?
Right.
And there are guys, I'm telling you, there are guys that are just like Bud Seeley. I mean, they have been in the government 75 years. And they just
wow.
told me, yo, when are you going? When are you going?
You know,
so I can get your spot.
You know, I'm thinking of Mr. Pibb from Seinfeld, you know, and that was such a great character. Because sometimes, you know, it's like the classic old white dude, you know, he's the boss.
Exactly.
And sometimes when you're new, you don't know any better, you think, oh, he's the boss, he must be smart. And then once you meet him, you're like, oh, my God, this guy, he doesn't know poop from Shinola, you know? and believe me, I've had bosses like that, you know? You're like, and you wonder, like, they're so stupid. How do they, like, get through life without, like, having
how
an accident or something?
Exactly.
Like, how do they, like, they don't have enough smarts to get up, tie their shoes and take a pee without messing something up. And you know, they do these crazy things. Like the one time I had a job and the guy, you know, the big boss, the big cheese, he sends this memo about footwear. It's going on and on about the footwear. It's like, this guy's got a foot fetish. He's effing nuts, you know? And then another time, they sent this memo, it was a recycled memo about dress code, and it's saying, like, no parachute pants. Like, what, did they recycle this memo from the 80s? You know, like, they didn't bother to update. I'm not kidding.
No,
I mean, it was a few years ago, but I'm like,
wow.
Well, what about headbands? You know, what about leather ties, leg warmers?
Wow.
You know, I mean, you know, I'll tell you, you know, these guys don't have it. They don't have the eye of the tiger, you know. They're Mr. Pibb.
Talk to me, Macau.
He said the eye of the tiger. Yo, ain't nothing else to be said. Job, you got it. Nice, Lil. You got it. He just killed it. I mean, he just killed it. Because I know exactly who the hell he's talking about. I can
man. Oh my God. Oh. I can introduce y'all at least 20 dudes that's like that, man. Oh,
wow.
My goodness. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff.
All right. Well, I mean, it's a general consensus that Mr. Seeley can't go soon enough. But we'll have to see. I mean, baseball and the hierarchy of baseball is probably one of the most conservative of all the professional organizations. And to get somebody that's a little progressive and a little forward-thinking to change the ways of establishment, so to speak, and I'm talking about the owners of baseball, it's going to be very difficult. That's just the way it's been, and it's going to be very difficult, in my opinion, to change the way that guys think and come up, just like Jeff said, to the 21st century that we're in. I mean, it's a sad laugh, but it's a simple fact is they have all this money, they have all the means to push their way into the be a little bit more progressive. And
yep.
Yes, and they refuse to. They just they don't have, in my opinion, they don't have a clue how to do it.
No.
And I think they would beat down anyone that would try to push them forward to that.
What about the Orion Express?
Say that again.
He said the Orion Express.
The Orion Express. Good old Nolan Ryan.
Well, I mean, he's a wild card. I mean, I don't know if they would put somebody like that in charge of baseball. You know, you have to wait and see what's going to happen, but I could say with every bit of confidence that they're going to push someone in there that's a good old boy that's going to do exactly what they want them to do and keep it pretty much status quo. I really believe that. I'd be extremely surprised if it's anything different than what they've had already. Maybe somebody younger other than Bud Selig, but someone that's going to carry the torch and not rock the boat, so to speak. I can see that happening. I can see that happening. All right, before we get to football, there's one more thing I want to get to, and it doesn't have to pertain to baseball. It has to pertain to basketball, and it happens to be on the East Coast where the 2015 All-Star Game is going to take place in Madison Square Garden, and all the other festivities leading up to the All-Star Game is going to take place in I can't believe I just forgot the name. What's in Brooklyn? Excuse me?
Yeah.
The Barclays Center. And I guess that was a panacea to give both New York teams a part of the All-Star Game for the 2015 season. Anybody? Well, I wouldn't say anybody. Let's go this way. I'll go to Macau, then Black, and then Jeff on your thoughts on rather than have one venue, they have two venues to split what's going to take place on All-Star Week or weekend. Talk to me.
Could you refresh my memory as to why? What difference do we make? Because they didn't do yours. I mean, what? Oh, because it's in one is in the Barclays and the other one's in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, versus have one venue having everything.
Oh man, come on, man. It's in New York. It's in New York. I mean, you can't. I mean, the All-Star, you should have it in multiple venues. You know, it's getting bigger. I mean, I don't really think it's an issue, but you know, I ain't from New York. I'm curious to hear what Jeff got to say about it.
Well, before you guys go any further, the reason I'm saying that because this rivalry between the Brooklyn Nets and the New York Knicks is getting extremely intense. There's a lot of trash talking that's been talked about in the off season. And besides the players, both these organizations, in my opinion, really don't like each other. So to split this versus one having all of it is pretty significant. That's my opinion, and I'll give the floor to Jeff right now. Go ahead, Jeff. I think you wanted to say something.
To me, the Nets are the ones with the new arena, and I think – you know, in football, you get a new stadium, you get a Super Bowl a lot of times. In basketball, you get a new arena, you get the All-Star Game. They should just put the whole thing in Brooklyn. What's the big deal? Is it that much of an event? It's worth splitting up. But the thing is, you know, in the three major sports, the Giants and Jets are in different conferences. Yankees and Mets are in different leagues. The Knicks and Nets are in the same division, and that makes a huge difference.
Yes.
Huge difference.
Yes.
And, you know, believe me, I would love to see the Giants and Jets in the same division. I would absolutely love that because I lose my mind when the Giants play the Jets. I don't know why, but I do. It's a big deal. I mean, and when they play in the regular season, I mean, the preseason is nothing. I'd lose my mind. I'm serious. Like, if the Giants, on a year they play the Jets, which now it's only every 4 years, if they beat the Jets and sweep Dallas, they can lose the other 13 games, and I'm happy, you know? Now, the thing is, they can't put the Giants and Jets in the same conference because of the contracts that the NFL has with the networks. CBS has the contract for the AFC, and it's
right
in the contract that they have a team in New York. They're not just going to say, oh, yeah, sure, Move a team out of New York into the other conference, no problem. You know, it's not going to happen. It'd be great if it could, or I think they should do, you know, almost like baseball does the interleague. If, let's say, every year the NFC East played the AFC East, just, you know, one game against the other four teams and then alternate 1 year home, 1 year on the road. So if, let's say, hey, we're going to do that, the Giants will play the Jets, the Patriots, Buffalo, New England every year, that'd be pretty cool, you know? Instead of rotating and having them, you know, mess around, having to go to the West Coast and having to deal with that, I think it would, you know, kind of create new rivalries, real geographic rivalries, and cut down on travel and logistic issues, you know?
Mm-hmm. Black, your thoughts?
I just want to know, in case me and Mikhail decide to make a trip up, who's hosting, Joker or Mr. Thet? I don't care either way,
hey, look,
whether it's played in Brooklyn, whether it's played in MSG.
The problem, I love to put you up, but the thing is, it's a pain in the butt getting from Jersey into the city. It really is.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
like,
it is.
In a lot of cities, between the city and the suburbs, it's nothing. Between New York and the Jersey suburbs, it's a pain crossing that river. It really is. And a lot of people are going to find that out the hard way come the Super Bowl, you know, you know, you don't, the weather's unpredictable. If the weather's bad, the plowing here is horrible. They take the biblical approach. The biblical approach is you put it here and they'll take it away. You know, and, you know, the roads are always a mess. There's always construction. And you figure, you know, the stadium is in East Rutherford. I think it's maybe 6 miles from Manhattan. Let me tell you, that could take you an hour to get from East Rutherford into Manhattan. No, I'm not telling tall tales. It's just the way it is. And that's why there's a lot of people like me in Jersey who I don't go to New York at all, often at all. And a lot of it is just it's such a pain in the butt, you know.
Yep.
I mean, on a work night, you know, you go to the city after work, and let's say, you know, like midnight or so, you're like, gee, it's getting late, I'm a little tired, I got to head home. It could take you a half hour just to get into the darn tunnel, you know? No exaggeration, you know?
You're right, I'm telling you,
it's a pain in the butt. If you got a friend in New York, you got to hit up on them, you know? Because, and the thing in New York is a strange city, because a very high percentage of New Yorkers don't have cars, but the mass transit system is pretty good. But it's not as good going from Jersey into New York. But to get around New York, the subways are pretty good.
Yeah. All right. Let's move. We got 12 minutes left in this show. The game's quite naturally started. I don't even know what the score is because I'm not looking at the TV right now. we want to progress. We want to move to football, and specifically. I think this guy's on the hot seat, so this is one of the reasons why he made made the move. I'm going down to Florida, specifically in Tampa Bay on Wednesday. Buccaneers coach Greg Schiano made the inevitable yet stunning decision to change quarterbacks, benching Josh Freeman and inserting rookie Mike Glennon. On Thursday, Schiano didn't want to talk about the decision. This is a quote from Schiano. Yesterday I spent like the entire time on Josh Freeman and Mike and the quarterback change. Today I'm going to stick to Arizona. Josh practiced today. He did his job, and I'll leave it at that. But some stories last more than a day, and the question Schiano refused to answer regarding Freeman's new role and what Schiano said to him about the change is a legitimate one. While Schiano has no obligation by league rule to answer the question, he's entitled to be criticized for refusing to talk about the one thing everyone in Tampa is talking about. It's a big deal for the franchise, and the media is entitled to pose far tougher questions than, what did you say to Josh? For example, are you giving up on the 2013 season by going with a rookie? Have any veterans or team captains complained to you about the move? Did you bench Freeman now to ensure he didn't win on Sunday and essentially prevent a bye week benching? Are you trying to save your job for 2014 by getting enough production from Glennon by late December to create plausible hope for 2014? Was Carson Palmer pursued in the offseason, as Palmer claims. Why hasn't Freeman traded, or why wasn't Freeman traded in the offseason? Will he be traded now? Will he be cut? Schiano likely would have found a way not to answer those questions, but even Colonel Nathan Jessup eventually cracked. Your thoughts, Jeff, first.
You know, I've been hearing about all this stuff. First of all, he got off to a poor start this season. I thought Freeman was pretty good. I don't really get what's going on down there. I did watch Tampa play in the Jets the first game of the season. That whole Tampa offense looked ridiculous, very, very sloppy. They couldn't even get off a play. I mean, they couldn't line up properly. They couldn't get the plays off in time. I mean, it's probably one of the worst things I've ever seen. I'm not a huge fan of Mike Glennon. And you think some teams will make the switch during the bye week because that gives them time to give the new guy more reps. But obviously, Freeman has fallen out of favor. I don't see a team trading for him now during the season because, I mean, I know there was just the Trent Richardson trade, but in-season trades of big-name players are rare. Freeman's making $6 million, especially a quarterback's got to know the plays. I can't remember the last time a starting quarterback was traded during the season. It's very rare. And for $6 million, you know? I mean, he's at the end of the contract. I mean, I think Freeman's pretty good. I got nothing against the guy. And probably someone will take a chance on him when his contract is up. He just needs now to keep his mouth shut and whatever so he won't turn off any potential future employers. And you never know. I mean, Glennon could get beat up or be awful, and then they might go back to Freeman. I don't know who the third-string guy is down there. And I don't know how much faith the ownership has in Schiano. I mean, if they really like Schiano, they're going to take his side over the players. But sounds like, no pun intended, the Buccaneers are having a little mutiny down there.
Well, Jeff, Josh Freeman has the worst passing percentage in all of football. So that's one of the problems he had. I go to Black. Black's back. I lost him for a minute, but Black, what are your thoughts on what's going down in Tampa Bay?
They better be very, very careful out there in Tampa. You look at the last name, Schiano. That's a made guy, man. Schiano refuses to answer your questions for a reason. Please take heed to that, Tampa media. He's a paid guy, man. Whatever Schiano wants to do, Schiano can do. As far as Josh Freeman, that was my guy at Kansas State. Got to Tampa Bay. I don't think he's got the proper quarterback coaching down because he hasn't progressed, really. He hasn't progressed. He's still going through the ups and downs. But that's probably the result of the organization turnover with Raheem Morris. He should be there now. Schiano. But, you're leaving. You better lay off Schiano, man. It's real serious for Schiano down there. It's real serious.
Mikal.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how many times I got to tell y'all this. But that dude, Schiano, is a dope.
Be careful what you say there. Be careful.
I don't care. Look, I don't care. I said that on the last. Look, I'm right out here in District Heights, Maryland, Slim. They can find me. You know what? Tell them they can Google Grown Soul. Google Grown Soul's address. It'll come up. You can find me. I ain't running nowhere. That dude is an idiot. I said it last year. I said it this year. When I really saw what type of coach he was, how you gonna go and hit at a team that's trying down the ball, man? How you gonna tell your team to do that, man? That's terrible coaching. That's terrible coaching. So it's no doubt in my mind that this man can't lead that organization. Josh Freeman. Well, he's not on, but I didn't see anything that he did that just made him just awful. You know what I mean? It was a couple of plays here and there. You can fault him, not fault him, but it's all of them were debatable. Every last one of them. And
45% passing is awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
exactly.
You got dudes dropping the ball, and then you know you can't even get everybody to the huddle and all that kind of. What is going on down there? It's not Josh, man. It's not Josh.
Well, I mean, we have to think he lost his captainship. He was a captain as a quarterback. You're a captain, and then all of a sudden you're not a captain this year. There's something going on down there. He was late to a photo shoot. He's been late to meetings. There's something going on down there. I don't know what kind of disconnect it is, but it's caused to come up to a head. And what happened now is that it's supposedly, and I'm just listening and hearing this, that he's the last one in the building and the first one out, which is not good for a quarterback. So it's supposed to be the opposite. I mean,
But can you blame him? I mean, you got that doofus up in there.
You
got to
be professional, man. You got to be professional because when I was a Jet fan, classic example, this guy was a jerk. I'm talking about Rich Kotite, but he still had to play for him because
terrible.
The fact is, sooner or later, whatever ineptitude that he has is going to come to a head. He's going to be out of there. And you got to prove that you can play for the coach that's coming behind him, or if you go to another team. If you pack it in because the coach is so bad, then who's going to want you? And we got a caller from the 847. I'm going to bring him in here. Caller from the 847. Welcome to the FSP Crew Show. State your name and tell us what you got to say.
Hey guys, it's Steve Harris and John Harris. How you guys doing?
How you doing? How's it going?
Hey, Steve. What's up?
What's up, guys?
I can't believe it.
Big fans of you guys. Big fans. And we love the Joker.
Yeah, and his brother from Chicago. Yeah. Unreal. From the 847.
Guys, you got to believe. Okay. Ahmad Bradshaw, I've got him as a starter this week, and there's nothing I can do about it because I've got to start two. I've got Peterson, I got Lacy, who's concussed, and I got Toby Gerhardt, who's a can cop. So as it stands right now, Ahmad is going as questionable. So
Wait a minute. Who are your running backs? Give me all your running backs.
Peterson, Bradshaw, Gerhardt, and Eddie Lacy.
Well, quite naturally,
you
got to
go with Bradshaw.
Yeah, quite naturally, Bradshaw is your number two running back, and I wouldn't complain about that because the fact is they're going to split carries. For the simple fact because the fact is that Trent Richardson doesn't know the total playbook like Ahmad Bradshaw is, and they're going to do running back by committee until Richardson comes up to speed. So I wouldn't really sweat it that much.
How about this? In terms of would you start, DeAndre Hopkins, Hankerson, or Ken Brawl Tompkins?
PPR.
Who are they playing against?
Okay,
well,
Ken
DeAndre Hopkins is playing against the Seattle defense. Kendrell Thompson is playing against the Atlanta Falcons, and Hankerson is playing against the
Oakland Raiders.
I think Tompkins.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
With choices
like that, I would go with Tompkins. I would agree with Jeff. In my opinion, Hopkins, DeAndre Hopkins is the better talent out of all of those three. But because of the defense they're going against and the secondary they're going against, it's going to be more difficult to get catches and yards from Seattle's defense versus playing against the Atlanta Falcons defense and Tom Brady. So, I mean, I think he got a better shot with Tompkins, in my opinion, than Hopkins.
Better than Hankerson?
Yeah. I think so.
Because the favorite target for in wide receivers for RG3 is Pierre Garçon, not Leonard Hankerson. So it's hit or miss with Hankerson versus that you know that Kembrell Tompkins is probably going to have a better shot because that's more of a passing offense and with a Tom Brady, and he's a better quarterback out of all three of those guys. He's a better quarterback. So
you're right. Oh, that's great, guys. I appreciate it. I have to tell you, no, I think I'm running thin on running backs. I mean, like everybody else. I mean, should you waste a spot on Toby Gerhardt? Would you waste a spot on him as a handcuff?
He's not a real good handcuff, in my opinion. How big is this league?
It's 12 teams.
12 teams. So you should look on the waiver wire. You should be able to grab somebody off the waiver wire that could be a handcuff for someone. That probably
Michael
be better.
Michael Bush is available. Would you go after him?
He's not getting that many carries, though, is he? I don't think he is now.
No, he's not getting that many carries. You'd have to look on the waiver wire who's available. Andre Ellington is another guy that's behind Rashad Mendenhall, who's often injured. He's good. If it's his PPR, he's their a change of pace, and he's their passing down back. Andre Ellington is from Arizona, for one. I'm trying to think of somebody else that could be possible that you could pick up.
When in need, just try to go New England. They got four running backs out there. And try to go with, what's that other team with my guy? The Broncos. Monty Ball, Moreno. You never know. One of those guys might be available in that league. Unless you got a 12 team.
Ronnie Hillman's still available.
He's still available? Yeah, I think Hillman.
Yeah, you would have Hillman over the what other guy's name is?
Ellington?
With Gerhardt, the problem is with Gerhardt is he doesn't touch the ball a lot. He's only going to see the ball if, you know, God forbid AP gets hurt. And the thing is, you know, AP was your first round pick, I assume. So, you know, if God forbid he gets hurt, you're going to be slitting your wrist, you know, so it's a tough call, you know?
I mean, Gerhardt is an all right back, but he's not even close to AP quite naturally, and he's more of a plotter. He's not a really dynamic backup back, and you wouldn't even be getting anything close to any decent points. I would go with somebody that is going to get some touches, and he's just like Gerhardt. Ellington is an injury away, which is very probable for Rashad Mendenhall because he's been dealing with injuries since the beginning of the season. But his kid's getting more and more looks. And Arian also has said he thinks this kid can be a three down back. So he likes this kid a lot. So that's the reason why I'm telling you that. Andre Ellington, not too many people know about him, but he's getting more and more touches as the season goes on. Especially he'll get more touches if Rashad Mendenhall goes down. I can't think of any other ones that off the top of my head, but look on the waiver wire. There's some few guys out there that.
The Arizona running backs don't usually put up good numbers. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, they might catch a few passes, but I can't remember the last time an Arizona running back was putting up good rushing numbers on a regular basis, you know, yards and touchdowns rushing. They haven't had a good rushing game, a good rushing line for years. This goes back to when Kurt Warner was playing for them.
They haven't had a good back.
Hightower was okay for a while. He was fantasy relevant for a while because he was he caught passes and he was good on the goal line.
He couldn't stay healthy. That's just the problem. That was the problem.
And he fumbled.
Yeah.
Other than that, he was perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jacquees Rogers is still available. I don't know if you guys cared about him.
Oh, grab him.
Jason? You can grab him with Jason Snelling, one or the other. Jason Snelling's usually probably the one that you would grab over Jacquees Rogers. Jacquees Rogers is still going to be a change of pace, and Jason Snelling's going to be getting the goal lines. So
I think Rogers might be better in a PPR league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rogers has been getting me about 9 to 10 points a game since he's been there. So grab him if he's available.
Okay, so we'll drop. And would you dump Gerhardt for him?
Who do you have?
I put Ed Gerhardt. I drop Gerhardt in the hood and tell him have a good time.
don't come crying to me if AP gets hurt. That's all I'm saying.
So you would waste a spot, Jeff, on Gerhardt?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, my rule is I only go for handcuffs in the deeper leagues. But you know, I mean, AP number one pick in the draft. He goes down. you'll be scrambling. You know, you gotta do whatever you can live with. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Your boy
yeah.
Joker is selling your dreams. Don't do it, Steve.
My boy Joker is telling me go to stay with Gearhart. But here's the thing, guys. If somebody goes down, I'm in trouble. Because, I mean, Eddie Lacy's not coming back until when?
Week five.
Next week.
Week five.
That's next week.
Steven Jackson is out like 2 to 4 weeks. So grab Rodgers, man.
Grab Rodgers. I will grab Rodgers. Would you dump any of those receivers? I have Hankerson, DeAndre Hopkins, Sanders, Tompkins.
I wouldn't even employ any of those receivers you just brought up.
What?
You know, maybe dump one of those guys. Maybe hold on to Gerhardt and dump one of those receivers, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
Out of all those receivers, I would dump the Washington Redskins, Hankerson. Because Tompkins and Hopkins are going to be getting progressively better and more targets as the season goes on. So that's my opinion. And Hankerson is very inconsistent. I mean, he showed that one good game and everybody's jumping on him, but he's very inconsistent.
He is inconsistent. I need another running back, I guess, for now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and here's the other thing. Down the line, after week seven, because my quarterback's Drew Brees, I'm going to have to dump a roster spot to get a quarterback.
No. Oh, well, you can do that. I mean,
later on.
Yeah. How big is your roster? How many?
16.
16?
16.
Yeah. That's a small roster.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is.
Okay.
I'm carrying three tight ends right now because I mistakenly took Jermichael Finley and Greg Olsen, and they're both on bye this week, so I picked up Heath Miller, which I thought was a good deal.
So in a couple weeks, you could try to trade Miller because he has a very good matchup this week.
Yep.
You might be able to get something for him. If not, just hold on to him, and he might be the guy you drop to pick up a backup quarterback for week seven.
That's right. That's what I think I'm going to do.
So you can let me put it this way. You can try to package some of your players either for a running back or dump one of the tight ends once they come off of buys and try to get a quarterback or a running back. And you don't have to dump any option. You don't have to dump any because you got three tight ends. You don't need three tight ends.
Olsen or Finley might be easier to trade than Miller. And Miller mm-hmm. is good for a backup tight end. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, if that's what you got to do to make a good trade, then that's what you got to do as long as you're getting good value.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
If Miller has a good game this week, which is very possible, because I think they're going against Minnesota, who's been giving up a lot to tight ends, and that's
yes.
a specific, you know, that's a very specific matchup, but very relevant to a tight end, his value could really shoot up.
Right, it could shoot up. Right, you're right. So he could be
based
tradable.
On a good game, you know. So let's hope for a good game, against a secondary that gives up a lot to tight ends.
What I would try to do is this. I would try to package a couple of your players to try to get a running back. You probably won't get a top tier running back, but you more than likely you'll be able to get a running back two or someone close to running back two.
If you do a 2-for-1 trade, that frees up a valuable roster spot.
Yep.
And that's what's good about making a 2-for-1 trade.
Yep.
So
think about that because, like I said, you don't need three tight ends. When those tight ends come off of a bye next week.
But I've carried three tight ends in leagues where you could start a tight end as a flex, especially mm-hmm. if it's PPR. Then sometimes it's worth carrying three tight ends, and I've done it. So
ooh.
It's all about the value.
Mm-hmm.
guys, you guys are the best. Thank you so much, guys. Talk to you next week, okay?
Rock
no,
on.
Thanks for calling
in. Good luck, man. Good
luck. Have a good week, guys. See you.
Yeah, good luck.
Take care. All right, guys, we come to the end of this show. I want to go and watch this game. I don't know what's going on with it because I'm into this show and I don't watch TV when I do it. Otherwise, you'd be hearing me whooping and hollering when I'm watching football games. So with that being said, I'm going to go down the line, starting with Jeff, then McCall, and then Black. Any last comments before we get out of here? All right, Zeph, lead it off.
Okay. In case you haven't heard, there might be a Favre comeback attempt. His agent is talking about what great shape he's in. I'm not kidding. You heard it here
first.
Yeah,
I heard it.
I heard it on ESPN, and I think if there was a playoff team and their starting quarterback went down, I think Favre would try to come back like that. He doesn't want training camp. He doesn't want to be on a losing team. He doesn't want to sit on the bench. But he's Favre. And I knew that's his attempt. But they're not a good enough team, you know. But, I mean, if somebody was a legitimate playoff team and they were willing to take a chance, look at Minnesota. I mean, he's familiar. I think it's still the same offenses when he played up there. Like, he might
Tampa
be willing
Bay.
To go up there. So,
Tampa
Bay's very close to him by private jet. I mean, thing is, he'd love to play for New Orleans, but they got Breeze, so it's not going to happen. God forbid he gets hurt. Favre would be all over that job. But, yeah, we might not have seen the last of Brett Favre.
You know Brett this Favre. Ends with Brett Favre in a jet uniform. You know this is what's going to happen. And Jerry will come back and become a Jets fan, and that'll be the end of it.
That's not happening. That's not happening. All right, Mikal.
Just want to say peace and blessings to the fam. Catch y'all Saturday, and don't take too many of these judgments on these players too serious, fam. Oh my goodness! But peace and blessings, y'all. Peace and blessings.
All right, Black, the reason I had you laugh because I want you to promo Saturday's show.
Oh, well, before I promo Saturday's show, let me give a big shout-out to the CVS, pharmacy, drugstore out in Virginia. They had a big sign out this week offering 99-cent sale on Kleenex for Redskin fans, so I got to give them a big, big shout-out. Shout-out to CVS. I hope they run that sign all season long because the fans are definitely going to need it. But on Saturday's show, yes, Mike, yes, indeed, Reed will be on the program. They'll be talking about his upcoming bout October 18th at Rosecroft Raceway out in Fort Washington. So it'll be a pleasure to have him. Also, I got news today that our boy Dusty Hernandez Harrison will be fighting for the Youth Championship belt November 2nd on the Gennady Golovkin card. HBO, November 2nd. Make sure you check that out. DC enough.
Really? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And where's that? Where's that look? Where's that location?
That'll be Madison Square Garden, MSG.
Okay.
November 2nd.
Okay, November 2nd. Okay. With that being said, I want to thank
making a big time.
You're right. With that being said, I want to thank you guys for joining me tonight. I want to thank Jeff's friend for calling in and asking the questions you did. Tune in next week when we'll be back once again, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on a Thursday. The FSP crew show will be in effect. And for those of you, the long-anticipated return of Mac Williams and the No Chaser Show will be tomorrow. I've done my due diligence in the ring. I've trained very well for the return matchup with me and Mac on Fridays, and I'm looking forward to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow when the first round of me and Mac will go at it. I know it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be a heated discussion, which is nothing short of very aggravating, but we'll see what happens, people. We will see what happens.
Hey,
7 p.m.
Jerry, I'm selling 2-for-1 volume. So you know, just holler at me on Saturday. Holler at me on Saturday, and I also got Percocets too. You know, just holler at me because you're
okay.
Gonna need it.
That's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you follow Mac on Facebook, you know what he's been ranting about recently. I know it's probably going to come up in the conversation tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to...
Could you enlighten me what he's ranting about? Because, you know, he blocked me.
Well, let me put it this way. He recently he's been ranting about the
Florida stand your ground law.
Stand your ground law. So he's been ranting about that recently. I saw a couple of things that he put up on Facebook. So I know it's going to come up in the conversation sooner or later tomorrow after 7 when we start the show.
Oh, let me guess. He's pro to law. He's pro on that law?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. But I haven't read all the things that he was ranting about. But I know he's going to bring it up. Not that I've had any personal conversation with him, but I know Mac, and he's definitely going to bring it into the conversation sometime tomorrow. So 7 p.m. is your standard time. If you want to get in on the conversation, you want to get some on one side of the aisle or the other. Mac's conservative. I'm on the liberal side. And we go back and forth, join the conversation. Same number here, 347-637-3220 after 7 p.m. to 8, 1 hour show. Come on in and join the conversation. Be ready to get some if you give some. That's all I got to say.
Is there any room for the rent is too damn high party and your two contingents?
All I can say is everyone is welcome. You just let me put it this way: it's no chaser for a reason. There's no hole barred. Let me put it that way: there is no hole barred in the conversation. I want
to
thank, like I said,
I'm supposed to be in his little town Friday here tomorrow. I'm flying out there tomorrow. I'm flying out to Cleveland tomorrow.
Okay.
Got to go to Cleveland, and then I'm going to Kansas City. But look. I ain't calling it because I'll be looking for him.
With that being said, I want to thank you guys for joining me tonight. We had a good conversation. We talked about a lot of subjects and got a lot of things out there. Enjoy the game, people. Enjoy the weekend and the football games that are going to take place on Friday and Monday. On Sunday and Monday. And also the one that's taking place right now. We're out.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew.